Let's all turn our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 6, from verse 12 to 16. Luke chapter 6, verse 12 to 16. It was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also named as apostles: Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James and John, and Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God, that this morning your love and your mercies have been renewed for us, God. And Father, Lord, I just thank you that my brothers and sisters came out here today, God, to pray. Father, Lord, I just, we just want to humble ourselves before your word, God, and I just pray, Lord, that you use me to just as a voice to convey your heart, God. And I just pray if there's anything that is not of you, God, that is spoken, Lord, I just pray against it, Lord, and that it will drop immediately. And Father, Lord, if there is anything that is of you, God, I just pray that it will be some sort of encouragement to my brothers and sisters here today, God. So Father, Lord, we just thank you for calling us out to be prayers, God, and come to our knees, Lord, this morning. In your precious name I pray. Amen. So I was in Korea last weekend, and our brother Mark is here, and his wife Audrey just dedicated beautiful Estella, who also came out to EMP. During the baptism at the church, the pastor spoke about something that, like, exactly to the topic to what I've been kind of chewing on for quite some time. It also happened to be obviously Audrey's father, so I just want to honor him and just tell him that I just kind of borrowed a little bit from his sermons, but it has been something that I've been chewing on for quite some time. I actually came out and I told Marcus right away. I was like, oh, you know, this is something I've been chewing on for some time. And he's like, well, you got to share it at CMP. So I was like, okay. Actually, the topic I want to talk to you about, I called it, oh, well, there's no sermon title, but the sharing, I wanted to call it The Other Guys. And The Other Guys also happens to be a name of a film that I really enjoy. It's actually something, I watched it a while ago, and basically it's about, it's a film that stars Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg, and they're NYPD. Okay? They're NYPD, and there are these two other celebrity cops that are in the city. And they're, and you know, the city loves them, the public loves them, the media loves them, you know, the chief loves them, like everyone in the city just loves them. And there's this one scene where these two celebrity cops come in to the headquarters, and they're like, oh, you know, there's going to be a big party today, you know, we just caught these bad guys, so most of you guys are invited, and we just want to thank all of you, the other guys. This wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for all you guys doing all the stupid stuff that we don't want to do, like file papers and, you know, put all the claim damages and stuff like that. So, and then obviously it kind of like zooms over to like a scene of the two characters, and the title of this film is The Other Guys. You should go watch it, actually. It's quite a funny film. And I've been thinking about this because when we say the word disciples, there may be only a few disciples that might come up to your mind. Okay, so I bet when you hear the word disciples, you think about Simon Peter, one of the first to be called. And, you know, Simon, he is known as the leader of Jesus' disciples. He had enough faith to walk across water. You know, he was promised the keys of heaven. And Jesus even says, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. Obviously, Peter has some unfortunate episodes. You know, he withdraws a sword during Jesus' arrest, gets rebuked by Jesus several times, And he obviously denies Jesus three times after the crucifixion. The other disciple you might think about is probably Judas Iscariot, who is probably known for as a traitor. Actually, the list of disciples come up four times in each of the Gospels. And Judas is always labeled last, and he's always labeled the one who betrayed Jesus. So you probably remember Jesus, Judas. Now, if you're really good, if you're really a good studier of the word, like everyone in this room at the moment, you probably know James and John, the two brothers, who was also in Jesus' inner circle. And if you're really good, then you probably remember Thomas, the one with little faith who had to touch Jesus' hands to believe that he is risen. So little of us actually know anything about the other disciples. The other guys. So today I just want to, I made notes and I forgot it, so I had to like write it on a piece of paper the size of my business card. So I just want to bring your attention to this guy named Andrew today. And Andrew was someone who, I've been trying to look up quite a bit, and it was such a shock that the pastor actually spoke about Andrew over the sermon as well. We live in a world right now where being first and being the best is the only thing that counts. We only strive to be in the spotlight. We want to be acknowledged. We want to be appreciated. And just being a support is not good enough. So many of us, when we are called to be disciples, we want to be Peter. We want to be in the spotlight. We want to be in the inner circle with James, John, and Peter. If you read through the scriptures, like I said, the list of disciples come up four times, and in each one there's only a pattern. There's a pattern to each one of them, and the first four that are always mentioned are considered to be Jesus' inner circle. They are Simon, his brother John, his brother Andrew, and the two brothers John and James. So Andrew here actually is a member of Jesus' closest inner circles. But we don't really know much about him or about his ministry at all. So here's a few things that you need to know about Andrew. First of all, the name Andrew means man of valor or a manly man. And I'm sure that that's why, Pastor Sam's son is also named Andrew. He's to be a man of valor. Little of us only know that Andrew is actually the first disciple of Jesus. And we know that if you go on to John chapter 1, verse 40. So we're just going to go to John chapter 1, verse 40. And I'm just going to read a little bit. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him, "Look, we have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. He brought to him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John, and you shall be called Cephas," which is translated to Peter. So Andrew, the first thing you need to know about Andrew is that he always thirsted for truth. And we know this because he was a disciple of John the Baptist. Okay? So here it says that he was a disciple of John the Baptist, but when John actually says, when John claims that he is not the Messiah and that a Messiah is to be is to come, Andrew, who is always thirsting for truth, is easily able to identify Jesus as the Messiah. So later on in the story, we find that he actually ends up following Jesus, and that he's actually the first one to be called, and he actually brings his brother Peter to Jesus. Okay, we often think that the first disciples who were called is actually Simon and Andrew, which is true, and they were called on the Sea of Galilee. But this episode actually happens a few months or even maybe even a year before. Okay, so the first point about Andrew is that he always thirsted for truth, and he was John's first disciple, and he was also Jesus' first disciple. The second thing we need to know about Andrew is that he always brought people to Jesus, and that's what he is known for. We see here that he's able to easily identify who the Messiah is, and then immediately, the first thing that he does is he brings his younger brother. Later on, in the book of John, there are many other encounters where Andrew actually brings people to Jesus. Another example is there are these Greeks that show up in John chapter 12. And it was, I think, a very big turning point, because until that point, Jesus' ministry has only been around Jews. But these two Gentiles come. John doesn't say much about them, but the Gentiles come and say, "We want to see Jesus." And the first person that they actually go to is actually Philip. And Philip and Andrew are the only disciples who actually have Greek names. So maybe that would have been the reason why. But then Philip knew, because Andrew was close to Jesus, Philip told Andrew, and both of them together brought the Greeks to Jesus. And that is the first time that we see Jesus actually foreshadow his death in the book of John. Another time that we always forget is another time that we forget about Andrew is actually when he feeds the 5,000, when Jesus feeds the 5,000. So I do Sunday school, and Sunday school, my kids, they love lists, okay? So if you challenge them to list 10 plagues or the 10 commandments, they just love lists, you know? So one time I asked them, I said, "Hey, what are your 5 favorite parables, and what are your 5 favorite miracles of Jesus?" And usually, you know, like the typical ones come out, right? Like, and that's what I love about kids, because they're just so raw, right? They don't think, right? So the ones that come out is, you know, Jesus turns water into wine, okay, number one. Or Jesus spits on mud and opens the eyes of the blind. Or he raises Lazarus from the dead. And usually, fourth or fifth, they will always say, when Jesus fed the 5,000 on the mount. Little do we know, or little do we forget, that it was actually Andrew who brought the boy with five loaves and 2 fish to feed 5,000 to Jesus. And that story is actually recorded in the book of John, chapter 6. So he always thirsted for truth, and he always brought people to Jesus. And my main point today is that he was very secure in his identity in Christ. And the reason I say this, because I just said that that he was among the 4 in Jesus' most inner circle. But if you actually take a look in a lot of footnotes in the Bible and a lot of stories, he actually loses out on the privilege of doing very intimate and very special stories in the Bible. Because he's actually left behind. So here's Jesus. He says, "Hey, you are in my inner circle, but stay behind, because I'm going to bring Simon, John, and James along with me." And you see that many times. There's a woman named Jairus whose daughter gets healed. And the only disciples that Jesus brings at the time are those 3. Another big moment is the Mount of Transfiguration, and that's a story in the Bible where Jesus teaches the disciples how to pray, and he has dialogue with Elijah and Moses. And that's when the glory of Jesus was first shown. Again, the only time when only John, James, and Peter were with Jesus. And obviously, at the most intimate hour of his prayers, at the Garden of Gethsemane, the only ones who are present is John, James, and Simon. So it's very easy to think, if you were to put yourself in Andrew's shoes, it's very easy to think that you were overlooked. On one side, you have this title of, or this acknowledgement, this identity of being in Jesus' inner circle, but at the same time, he leaves you behind every time he goes away and does something fun, you know? And I say that chuckling because I remember I was a groomsman at a friend's wedding. So I flew back to Canada. I was a groomsman. So in front of everyone, in front of the whole crowd, in front of all the witnesses, I was one of the special friends, right? I was a special friend. The whole church knew it, right? And yet, I remember, you know, at the banquet, this friend of mine was like, "Oh yeah, you know, like so and so, you know, love you guys, you know, my best man, you know," and then out of the four groomsmen, he will only list like three of them, and I was like, "Yo, dude, I flew from the other side of the world. Give me a shout out, you know," and I just remember, you know, well, first of all, being a groomsman is really easy. I mean, I look at all my female friends who are bridesmaids. I'm just like, man, the responsibilities of a groomsman is so easy. You just have to make the guy look good and make sure he's hydrated, you know. And you know, so I was doing all these things, and there wasn't really anything special about being a groomsman, like honestly. But you know, it's just one of those things that you feel overlooked. Maybe recently you've been overlooked for a promotion. And I know, you know, when I go to work sometimes, you know, my work is one of those things where if you don't do a good job, then it's recognized. But if you do a good job, it's BAU, it's business as usual, you know? And it's so easy to feel overlooked by your boss. Maybe in house church. Maybe you serve in certain capacities here at church. And you love serving there, and you serve there for so long, but no one gives you any words of affirmation. No one gives you a pat on the back. I don't know, right? But it's so easy to feel, or it's so easy to think that Andrew might have felt that kind of way, that he may have been overlooked by Jesus. But not once do we find in the Bible where he is A, the subject of any indignance from the other disciples. If you remember, John, James, and Simon, they all had their moment of rebuke from Jesus. If you remember, James and John's mother goes up to Jesus and says, "Oh, you know, when you get to heaven, can you make sure that my sons are on both your right and left side?" And all the disciples look at him, they're like, "Who do you think you are?" Right? And I just want to say, when I read through that, you know, this is why I've been chewing on it. It's because I'm just like, God, what about the other guys? What about the other disciples? You know, why did you only take those three? And or like, why don't we know anything about Bartholomew or Thaddeus? You know? You know, in the book of Luke, there are two Judases. Maybe some of you are like, "Whoa, there are two Judases?" Right? Yeah. Well, one of the Judas, son of James, is actually Thaddeus. Probably many of us, the only reason why we know Thaddeus is probably it's a brother Thaddeus at church, right? And I think it's just so easy for us to kind of think that. So, just going on, Andrew never was there during the big moments that we find in the book in the Synoptic Gospels, and I like to think that there are only two possibilities, and this is not biblical, okay? So it's not in the Bible. This is only now me just making assumptions, okay? But there must have been two reasons why he wasn't there. One, he volunteered to not be there, okay? Or two, Jesus asked him to stay behind, okay? So, one of two options. One, the first one is, if Jesus asked him to be there, it's probably because Jesus trusted him to be there. Okay? So many, sometimes when we're asked to do things that we don't find is to be in the spotlight, we always think it's some sort of punishment, or it's some sort of, that we're not qualified. But maybe, just maybe, Jesus looked at his disciples and said, "Okay, you three, I need to teach you guys how to pray." Okay? and the rest of you could stay behind, but Andrew, do you mind staying with them? I don't trust them maybe as much as I trust you, you know? Maybe it was an opportunity for Andrew to show that he was also a leader and that he was trusted by Jesus with the big task of overlooking his disciples. Because if you remember, Moses went up to the mountains and he left Aaron behind to look after the Israelites, and that he came back to just debauchery, right? Maybe this is one of those moments where Jesus says, I need to take these three guys to pray, okay? But I need you to stay behind, and you're the only one that I could trust. Can you stay behind? I am so sure that if Andrew asked Jesus, hey, Jesus, can I come to learn to pray? Can I come? Then I'm sure that Jesus would have said, sure, why not, right? The other is that he probably volunteered, okay? He probably said, Jesus, you know what? When you go up to the mountains, I'm going to stay behind with my brothers so that they don't feel overlooked. I'm gonna look after them, and I'm gonna stay with them, and we're going to pray. And we're going to pray, right? Remember, you know, actually, James, John, and Peter, Jesus comes out of the garden, and he's like, yo, you guys are all sleeping. Why aren't you guys praying, right? Who knows? Maybe Andrew had a Bible study while they were there. Who knows? We don't know, right? But the point is that he either volunteered because he was so secure in his identity to know that he was loved by Jesus, and that he was accepted, and that he was acknowledged, and that he had talent. Or maybe he was asked because of those same reasons. I don't know, it's not in the scriptures, but I could only assume. You know, I remember when I first came to SP, I had major FOMO. I don't know if you guys know what FOMO is. FOMO is the new millennial word for fear of missing out, okay? And, you know, like sometimes I had such intense FOMO growing, like coming, I mean, not to SP, but just growing up, you know, I just wanted to be part of everything, you know? Now, obviously, I'm just like, I just don't really care, right? And, you know, I used to want to be part of things that I'm not even supposed to be in. You know what I mean? Like the missions committee would have a meeting, and I'll see that, and I'll be like, oh my gosh, I want to be in there, right? Or, you know, there'll be like a house church leaders meeting, right? And I'll look in and be like, oh man, all my friends are in there. I want to be there, right? Like things I should even be a part of, you know? I sometimes want to be a part of. And maybe Andrew, we know that Andrew could have felt that, right? When he looked and said, oh man, I wish I went to go pray, or I wish that Jesus taught me how to pray. Yeah, but you know what? Here's Andrew, who is working behind the scenes, who is not in the spotlight, and who is doing good, and he is bringing people to Christ all the time. It's funny, when you actually look through the early Christian, the early church history, well, actually not early, just like later on, but Andrew, there's always this thing about Andrew being the first to be called. So many of us, we think that it was Peter who actually left everything and followed Jesus. But that only happened about a year after Peter was introduced to Jesus by Andrew. And Andrew was the first one to recognize who the Messiah was. So I am so sure that although he was in his inner circle, and although he did not get to go to these prayer meetings, that Andrew was actually recognized and accepted and remembered by Jesus. Yeah? And in an age where we are only going for the first and the best, it's no longer good that you're the best supporting actor. You know what I mean? It's not good enough that you win an Oscar for a support role. You have to win an Oscar for a lead role, right? You know, this church, this world needs people in the spotlight like Peter. But they also need servants and people who are so grounded in their identity in Christ to know that they don't have to be a part of everything, that they don't need the spotlight to serve God. And I just want to wrap up here just with a reminder that you know, when we come out here to pray, Jesus remembers all that. We don't need the titles. We don't need the promotions. And we don't need to feel that we got overlooked by our pastor, by the staff, by our house church leader, by our boss, by our families, right? Especially if you knew that you had such grounded identities. You know, we don't know what happened to Andrew in the Bible, okay? History tells us that he ended up going to the furthest places, like Russia and Ukraine, later on to deliver the gospel. But he was an apostle. Andrew was an apostle who was remembered to be the first to be called. You know, he was the one who brought the first disciple, Peter, to Jesus. Okay? I think I just want to wrap up with this, and this is how I wrap up almost all of my QT time. QT time is redundant. Is the story of the cross, and I just remember, you know, Jesus is up there, and he is, you know, recreating history. It's the greatest moment in history. He's rebaptizing the world, and there's this guy, the sinner, next to him, and says, Jesus, would you remember me? And Jesus responds, hey, you know, I'm doing this huge thing right now, but yes, I will remember you, right? And I think that that's so encouraging because sometimes, so many times we feel forgotten. You know, when we first listed the disciples this morning, I especially, and maybe some of you guys, did not know much about Andrew, right? But Andrew actually is the only one who doesn't come up with some sort of title out of those four. Okay, Simon gets a new name, right? Simon gets a new name, and he gets Peter. And anytime there's a name change in the Bible, some sort of redemption, right, of their previous name. But, Andrew doesn't get one. John is known as the beloved disciples, or the disciple that Jesus loved, right? Andrew doesn't need that. Maybe it's because Jesus also recognized that his name, a man of valor, or a man of men, leader of men, he didn't need one, right? Maybe Jesus looked at him and said, you know what, you don't need one. Everyone else I need to do special training with, you know? But you, I trust you. And you could just hold on to your name, and I don't need to attach any other phrase or suffix, right, later on, right? So let's just stop there. Let me just wrap up in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, God. Father, Lord, we thank you for the revelation of scriptures, God, that you have loved and you have respected and you have acknowledged all your followers, God. And Father, Lord, sometimes we just want to repent that we've only been striving for the position of leadership, God, of Peter, of James and John. So many times we want to confess that we want to be only a part of your innermost circle, God. And by that, we've neglected our duties and we've neglected others around us, God. But Father, Lord, give us a heart like Andrew. Give us a grounded faith and grounded identity in you, God, to know that we don't need acknowledgement, that we don't need to be present at every event, and that we don't need to only strive for words, God, and favor from men, God, but that we strive and that we serve and that we want to be disciples, God, of the one and true Father, God. So, Father, Lord, as we just chew on this throughout this respond time, we just pray, God, that you give us new revelation, God, and would you also heal the wounds where we felt neglected, where we felt marginalized or where we felt that we were overlooked. But Father, Lord, give us that hope that it may be because we are qualified. It may be because we are loved. So Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. And we just pray, God, that that you engage us in great dialogue as we just go into our time of prayer. In your precious name I pray. Amen. All right, it's Saturday. So let's go through our prayer list. Let's just want to lift up all the people, all the members of our community who are battling cancer or going through chemo. I say this every time I'm up here. I think it's best that we choose a name. These names come up frequently, but choose a name and really go after it. Let's battle it out. Let's also pray for those who are battling some sort of illness, but also need the touch of God. Again, go after one name, and then go to another one next time. But today, choose a name, and pray that they'll be saved and that they'll be healed. On to our next slide. Let's lift up all our brothers and sisters who are going through infirmities. I just want to share the third one from up there, Brett. He's a brother from my house church, and recently he gave a praise report of his road to healing. He's not fully healed, but he's well on his way of getting healed. So I just want to encourage that. These prayers are not falling on empty grounds. When we pray, we are engaging and petitioning to the God who heals. So really, let's just go after, again, these names and these illnesses. Let's lift up our brothers and sisters who are looking for work. That God will open up doors and that He would bring divine meetings. Let's just lift them up. Let's go to our Saturday. Let's pray for North Korea, and let's pray for open doors for ministry and missional opportunities and other partnerships around Asia. There's a lot going on in Korea at the moment, so let's definitely lift them up. Let's lift up all of our weekend activities. EMP Bible Study, GIC. Our prison outreach brothers and sisters are out here today with us. So let's lift them up. And homeless outreach, domestic helper education outreach, drug rehab, who's also going out today. Sunday services, Noah's Ark, our worship team. They are on a retreat. They left last night. SP Youth, Yahweh, SPIN services and activities, SP Rings, that's going to be happening later on the ninth floor, and all other meetings that pertain to this church. Especially if you're part of any of these ministries, then lift them up. And let's just pray for, just God to just really look down and be pleased with the work that our church is doing. Let's also lift up our house churches that are meeting today. Mawan, McDaddy, Robinson Bay, Tavistock, and Westside. Let's just pray that there'll be revelation as they just go through the discussion sheet about Poverty Sunday. And that there'll be some sort of stirring in their hearts when they meet today. Let's lift up. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time that we spent to pray, God. And as we just engage in our own time to lift up our petitions and our thanksgiving, God, we just pray, God, that you meet with us today and this morning. Father, Lord, we just pray that you remember the prayers of my brothers and sisters who came out today to pray, God. So, Father, Lord, would you meet with us as we just go in and just be with us through all other weekend activities that's going on today. And for the rest of the weekend, we love you in this place, God. In your precious name, I pray.